I'm Leslie McShane, and this is The New Old You, a place where women over 50 are able to come together to figure out who they are now and what they want as they move forward into this new phase of life. What better way than to do this rediscovering together with guests that can help us figure all of it out? It's time to make some space for yourself because honestly, you deserve it. This is The New Old You, and I am Leslie McShane. One of the rites of passage of people near or in their midlife years with children is the college decision years. And I say years because sometimes the process can take that long, sometimes not. And if so, you're very lucky. As early as their sophomore year in high school, a lot of kids start to put thought into it. Will they go to college? And if so, where will they go? Will it be close or far? Will it be a big school or a small school? Are they going to go to a specialized school or just like a liberal arts school? All of it is a huge decision for such a young person. And of course, kids should turn to their parents for advice. The problem is, for most parents, it's been so long since they were in college and things are completely different now. The costs are so much higher, the competition is tougher, and there is so much information out there that it's so hard to weed through. This is where my guest today comes in. Marnie Levine is an independent full-service college advisor working with students from eighth grade to graduate school. Her goal is to help you and your student find the perfect college where they will shine. Her mission statement is to minimize stress for the family she works for by completing the process the way a mother would do it if the mother was a professional. And I know she's going to be helping you and your child with their search today. So please welcome Marnie to the podcast. Hey, Marnie, how are you?
Hi, Leslie. I'm psyched to be here.
I am so excited to have you here because, I mean, this is something that people feel like it should be an innate thing, that they don't need help. I mean, how hard is it to find a college and get into it? But it is increasingly harder and harder, for sure. So before we get into all the tips and advice that you have for us, give us kind of a little background about you and how you fell into doing what you do.
I literally fell in, that is correct. So when my oldest son was going through the process of getting ready to apply to college, I actually hired another college advisor who had a stellar reputation. She was a wonderful woman. But as we went through that process, I realized that she was kind of doing things by rote. She was doing the same thing for every child. Mm-hmm. And I was over her shoulder constantly. Trying to kind of redirect because I knew my child the best. And I was doing a ton of research and trying to figure out the best place. And I was working on essays and a lot of things were just, she would kind of poo-poo me and just say, no, don't worry, you trust me, it's gonna be fine. And it wasn't all fine in the end. And from that lesson, from that experience, I really realized that it should be a more personal scenario for every child and right. for their families. Every family has different parameters for college, whether that is, does your child want to go far or near? Is money an issue? Where can you maybe get some scholarships? Do you have a budget in mind? Whether you're not going to get scholarships at all, but do you have a budget between a very expensive private school versus a state flagship institution. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, I knew what my son liked to do. I knew what made him tick. And it didn't have to be that he was checking off every single box. He just needed to kind of stand out and show colleges how awesome he was. And we went through that process. I went through with her. And after the end of it, I was like, I can do this. I can do it better. I am used to packaging and marketing things. I was in advertising and public relations after I graduated from college. And I love to write and I love to tell stories. And I said, I can write essays. So all I needed to do was learn about college. And so I set about you know, learning everything I could about different colleges. I started with the most popular ones in my area. And the next year I practiced on every kid that I could find who was willing to let me practice on them. And they all had success. And the following year, I started my business. And that was 15 years ago. And here
I am today. That's awesome. So what exactly do you do as a college advisor? What do you help the kids do?
So my role is really multifold. I really believe, different from many, many, many college advisors, I believe that this is a family affair. So I meet with families, with parents and their student, and we talk about everything that's going to take throughout high school to get into colleges that will fit them, where they will shine. And that includes looking at their transcripts and their grades and planning their classes for the next year and looking at their activities. Who are they? Are they an athlete? Are they a tuba player? Do they love to debate? What lights them up? What excites them and makes them different from every other student? Because we always want to, I say, pick with purpose. So everything that they do, I will always help them figure out what is the best path for them. So what are the best classes that show who you are? What are the best activities that show who you are? I don't want any time sucks. I don't want them doing things just because they think it's going to get them into college. It won't. There is not one thing that's going to get your child into college. So we plan, we pick with purpose, classes, activities, and colleges. So as we go through the process, I try to inform and educate families and students on how to find their voice, how to figure out who they are, and how to find that perfect school. Schools, like you said, very different today than when we went. It's a very different system. It's a very different process. And so I'm always trying to guide them along the path until it's time to apply. And when it's time to apply, we help them with that as well. So we do mock interviews and we help them fill out their applications and we help them brainstorm amazing, exciting essay topics so that a school could clearly see how they will interact within that college community. And then we send everything out into cyberspace. And when they get decisions, we help them to talk through where the best decision for them will be. And until they commit on right. or before May 1st, wherever they're going to end up being. So I am constantly being on your team and helping you figure out where the right place to go is.
I can imagine, you know, for high schoolers, we're talking about kids that are probably 15 to 18, to have somebody on their team and putting so much focus on the things that they're doing, I can imagine that's a little overwhelming for some kids.
The whole process is overwhelming for the kids. And I think that by having a touchstone, having a person who they can reach out to say, hey, I can take AP classes, or I can take dual enrollment classes, or I can take honors classes. I don't know what I'm supposed to take. What's the best route for me? And then we sit down and we talk, because everybody shouldn't take a full load of AP classes. Some kids might take dual enrollment college classes. Some kids may never take a rigorous class. They may just take an academic journey. And then that's okay too. You have to do what's right for you. That is the way that you will stand out. You know, the better you do in high school, the better you will do in college, because you will find the right place for you. Right. And so having a teammate, right, having a coach, having somebody there who you can say, Marnie, what should I do? Or how should I do it? And believe me, the parents call more than the kids. Therapy more than anything for the parents, because they're nervous. Nobody wants to make a mistake. This is a huge decision for their child. It's a huge investment for their family.
Right.
And you've got your child's future in, you know, your hands,
right?
And knowing that you've got somebody there who is on your team, who's on your side, who can mire through all the muck of everything that's out there, all that information, confusing information, I think has really been a big benefit to families. It also minimizes stress, because parents stop nagging. They don't have to worry. Did Tommy, you know,
write his essay? Did he
write his essay? Exactly. They can just, I use a college planning software and parents log in and they can see everything that Tommy sent me. And then they know that dinner doesn't have to get ruined that night because they don't have to worry about saying, did you do your essay? You know, it's, they either know that it's done or it's not. And when it's not done, they text me and they say, I saw that Tommy didn't do it. Could you shoot him a reminder? And I do.
Right.
So, well, I become the nanny.
Well, it's a wonderful thing to be able to take this stress off the parents because, you know, they already have enough stress with the other things that, you know, high school brings, or the thought of paying for whatever colleges that your child may get into. But when should you start thinking about college? I mean, is sophomore too early? Is freshman too early?
Yeah, I think that you should always be planning. You don't need to be pressuring, but right. You should always be picking with purpose, right? So you should be doing things as early as freshman year to sort of figure out, what does your child love to do? What subjects are their strengths? Can you see them in a particular field or profession, or one that you absolutely can't see them? So if a student doesn't love math, you know, don't push them towards engineering. You know, if they don't love science, don't push them towards medicine. Let's figure out kind of together, what do they love? Where is their strength? And go from there. So in freshman year, when I talk to students and families, those are the things we talk about. What do you love? Let's touch and feel some things. Let's see what subjects you're really good at. And let's not worry about the things that you're not great at. We'll figure, you know, we don't have to talk about those. Let's see where you are a superstar and let's go there. Now, that could be music. It could be athletics. It could be debate. It could be, you know, engineering or computer science or communications or journalism or creative writing. And the more you kind of get that idea of who you are, then the following year, by sophomore year, you're doing the same thing, but you're going a little bit deeper. Now in sophomore year, you can start to think, okay, you know, I need to make sure that we're not making any missteps. We can't waste time. Kids are overburdened with activities now.
Right.
And we do not want them doing everything. That is actually,
I mean, they have to be kids.
They have to be kids. And the biggest fallacy, the biggest myth in college admissions is that colleges want well-rounded students. They don't. Your son or daughter does not have to spend 50 hours volunteering and, you know, be the president of a club and cure cancer and
play a sport and have the highest
and be a straight A student to go to college. But they need to find those things that they love and enjoy and that they're good at, and make a really strong picture of those things and just go deep into one or two or three things rather than touching, you know, try 15 things and try there, because kids are burnt out.
Right.
So it's so much better to have
quality over quantity.
100% quality. Yeah. Over quantity.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, and then in junior year and by sophomore year, they could be doing some visits, truthfully. And the cool thing now is that what I tell people in sophomore year is if you're on a vacation, if you're visiting family and there's a college in that area, check that out.
Right.
You know, no pressure. Just walk around. College campuses are cool.
Yeah. Drive through. Look at the area, because sometimes the area that it's in is just as important as the school itself. I mean, if it's in the backwoods somewhere, it's the greatest college on earth, but it's, you know, 4 hours from a major airport and it's a long way from home and you have to get to the airport to get home, then that might be off the list.
Absolutely. And you need to know. And that was actually part of my story, that my oldest son was planning, I live in New Jersey, and my oldest son had planning to go to Indiana University. And after spring
love it,
break,
but in the middle of nowhere.
And my second son did go to Indiana, but the oldest one came home from spring break in his junior year and said to me, in his senior year. And he said to me, I'm not getting on a plane to go to Indiana to come back and forth all the time. And I was like, oh my God, you know, it was like April 15th. time to make a decision is May 1st. And we had already given a deposit in Indiana. And he said, I hated waiting in lines. I hated being in the airport. And he decided to go very close to home. And he told me that he was going to go to Rutgers. And I was really shocked at the time when he made that decision and he changed his mind. But you need to listen to your child. When they say, I don't want to do this, or I'm uncomfortable in that scenario, it's time to pivot, you know, and I had to learn. I had to pivot with him, which was hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And that being away from home for the first time and not having good access to be able to have that escape to get home, my daughter went through the same thing. She almost went to Colgate, which is in Hamilton, which is, you know, an hour and a half from an airport. And she's kind of like, I don't know if I can do that. So she picked a school, you know, right outside of Boston. She could be in an airport in, you know, 20 minutes.
Yep.
And that was a done deal. That was, that was a deal killer, really.
Yeah. And I mean, 6 days after my son, we dropped him off at Rutgers, he came home and he said, can I talk to you? And I was like, oh my God, now he wants to go to Indiana. You know, I'm like, oh my God, what happened? And he came to me and he said, I just want to say thank you. Because this is the perfect place for me. And I know it was hard for you to let me make this decision. I know it wasn't what you really wanted, you know, for me, because I wanted him to spread his wings and maybe go. He said, but I've got everything I needed here. And I'm really, really happy. And he knew that right away. So, you know, we do have to listen to them and we do need to understand where are they comfortable? Where will they, because if you're not comfortable, you can't be happy. And if you are not happy, you cannot be successful. You will always be going backwards. You'll always be trying to make yourself feel comfort, you know, happiness and comfort. And it, you can't study well in that scenario. You can't make friends well if you're always feeling uncomfortable in your own skin or your environment. And it's very important to find that proper place for your child.
Yeah. And there are a lot of people who want to relive their decision of where they went through their child. So, so they push for their child to go to a certain place that the child might not want to go. So, and you need to learn to let that go. But so how do we go about helping them find the right place without putting any kind of undue pressure on them?
So the amazing thing that happened during COVID is that virtual information sessions and virtual tours and videos have become commonplace now. Mm-hmm. So without pressure, a student can sign up for a virtual information session. And even before that, they could do a virtual tour of a campus. They could watch a video of a campus. They can talk to friends who are on different campuses. Those are amazing ways to feel no pressure whatsoever and to see, okay, can I imagine myself there? Because without spending a lot of time, money, you know, everybody's busy nowadays, hard to fly all over the country.
Right. So,
and that's very low pressure. And then as sophomore year goes on and you've done a bit of that, and then you maybe have test scores, SATs or ACTs and grades, you can narrow down that list a little bit of the places that your child thinks are awesome and where will they have a great major? Where will they have accessibility to professors? Where do they have great networking and job opportunities? Right now, I think mental health is a huge thing. So are there great resources because kids are nervous and anxious since COVID? So check out the school on your own. Parents can do that together or separately. Then you start to make visits and then you can start to say, is this a place that's good for my school, for my major? Mm-hmm. Is this a place where I can see myself succeeding? And that I think is really important, not to put so much of the visiting pressure on early. I think the visiting pressure should come a little bit in junior year and it should be fun. Go buy this sweatshirt, go to the bookstore, you know, go to a game, go on a fun weekend. And I always tell kids, talk to kids, you know, on those campuses, it's really important. They are great advocates for their campuses, mm-hmm. and they'll tell you the real deal. You'll always mm-hmm. get the shiny, you know, picture perfect thing on a college's website, but talk to the kids on the campus, ask them those questions and think about what's important to you. And if you have an advisor, she will tell you also, you know, kind of, or he will tell you how to do this, you know, how to set up visits. And, you know, when you're on a college campus, sit in on a class, right. See if you can talk to the dean of the college that you're going to be attending within that university. Talk to student ambassadors, go to a religious organization if that's important to you and see what they offer. Go to the coach or the sport that you might want to play. Talk to those people. It's really, really important.
Go to the cafeteria, see if the food is good.
Oh my God. Go to the cafeteria. The food is like the number one thing.
It's the number one thing. Yeah. Cause it's not mom's cooking, you know?
No, it's not, but they all now, you know, they bring in so much food,
right.
Uber Eats and all
right,
that
right.
delivery.
So as far as school visits go, I personally, my daughter had, I don't know, she was a college visit addict. So we visited 28.
Wow, I'm jealous.
It was crazy. I mean, some of them were just driving through the campus and checking it out. Some were much more in depth, but it was a lot. And it was a lot to take in and get through. Is there like a magic number of amount of schools that you should focus on when you get to that level?
So I think the best way to do it is to look at least one kind of school in each category.
Right.
So look at a big school, a big rah-rah school, look at a small private school, look at a city school, look at a school in your home state. Look at a school that you have to fly to. Once you kind of get that idea, then you mm-hmm. can narrow down, okay, I hate the city. I love
right.
the city, you know.
And you may surprise yourself.
100% you may surprise yourself.
You may be, your child may be convinced that they want to move to the other side of the country. And the second that you go visit over there, they're like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
Exactly. And, you know, what's the culture in the town that you're looking at? You know, I get kids all the time. I am in the Northeast. So I get lots of kids who want to apply to, you know, Texas. You've got to go check that out. How do you feel, you know, in that culture? You know, are you ready to throw on your cowboy boots? If you are, then you're good at Texas. And, you know, that's really important to see the culture, you know, in a town and in the campus. But I think that for me, what I do in my practice is when we apply on average to 10 colleges. So if you've seen 5, I think you're in good shape. There mm-hmm. are some schools that don't consider demonstrated interest, which is showing a school a lot of love before, you know, they admit you. And so if your big state university doesn't consider, you know, demonstrated interest, then you know you'd be okay there. You know, a lot of kids who go there and it's not high on your list. You don't need to visit some of these places because
right.
most of the big ones are, you know, alike. They have similar things. You need to
right.
have an idea. And then once you're in, then you can go visit before you make a decision. The only caveat to that is if you're going to apply early decision, which is binding, then you need to be 100% sure that you will attend that university mm-hmm. if you are admitted because it's a binding decision. So if it's your first choice school and you apply early decision, you've got to know that you're going to go there. So you've got to see that school and you've got to see others to make sure that nothing out there is capturing your heart the same way.
Right. Now, do you tell people to do an EA? Or early decision?
So that's, again, another parameter that we talk about as families. I think that I love early action. To me, the early bird catches the worm always. So I am a big fan of getting things early and out and done before mm-hmm. November 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So even if a student has regular decision.
It is a great way to go through Christmas, knowing that you already are in.
Oh, that you're in somewhere. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You could be in and, you know, you're done. You're not writing essays over Christmas, which, mm-hmm. you know, that's, kids hate that more than anything, is
right.
that to get to that January 1st deadline, the next deadline, then they're working all through Christmas break. And to
right.
me, that's really
it's
rough.
A bummer.
So we try to get everything done over the summer. into the early fall and get everything out. So I am a big fan of early action. Early decision, which is not binding, by the way. Early action is not binding. Early decision is binding. Okay. So if you're going to apply to a school early decision, then your whole family has to be on board. You have to know you're willing to pay if you get no money. You have to know it's your first choice school because you're bound to go. And so early decision has become a really good option for kids who know that they fit those two parameters and they want a little bit of a reach. And early decision can help them in that scenario, because sometimes in that little bit of a reach, schools are really concerned with what they call yield, which essentially boils down to give a yes, get a yes. They want to keep their yield very low. So early decision is a great tool for colleges, because if you say ED, they know you're coming. They're going to give a yes, get a yes.
Yeah. Hmm. So when kids are making a decision on a college, everybody is kind of like, well, I'm going to go to an Ivy League school. I'm going to apply to all the Ivy Leagues. I'll get into it. Or they have this sort of idea that they need to go to a certain school. What do you say about that? Because there are so many schools that are available.
There are so many schools. I mean, thousands of colleges in this country. And I am all about fit. So for me, I don't believe that an Ivy League school is for everybody. I think that if you are successful at your college, if you get to the top of the class at your college, you will have more success than if you are the kid struggling at an Ivy League school. Also, the Ivy League schools are not all the same. So you still have to do some research. You know, one is a little more chill than the other. One is very intense. One is very preppy. One is very artsy. So you really have to know that you're fitting into the culture on that college campus more than anything. You can't just say, it's an Ivy League school, my life is going to be set. That is just not true anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think that you want to look for opportunity wherever you're going. So again, are there professors that are accessible to you? Is that school, do they have a very robust major that you can take advantage of? How are their career services and networking? Are you going to be the kid struggling in the library every night? Are you going to be the kid who gets a research opportunity? Will your professor know you for the right reasons? Will they write recommendation letters for you for internships? Today, it's very different than when we went. Kids have to put their grade point average on their resumes now. We didn't mm-hmm. do that when we
right.
went. You just had
right.
to kind of get out of college. Now it's about succeeding in college. And there's so much competition and everybody's going to be smart. You and I have spoken about this now. Everybody's going to be smart wherever you go.
Right.
And you've got to be able to swim with those kids. And so it's really important that you find the place that's right for you. And I really think parents need to kind of get their preconceived notions out of the way, because you're going to set your child up for failure if they are a fairly average kid, they're not going to an Ivy League school, and you're going to make them feel bad about where they are. And that's so wrong, because there's a perfect place for everybody.
So with the whole COVID thing, there have been a lot of kids that just have chosen not to go for now, because things seem to be a lot of different, or it seemed to be a lot different on colleges. How are things, if they do decide to go, what's different now? What's the deal with the inflated and deflated grades?
Oh my God. So COVID has changed everything in the college admissions landscape. So it brought everything to, you know, like a grinding halt mm-hmm. right away, and policies had to get changed. So the first thing that happened was, during COVID, test optional became a much more prevalent policy. So that meant that a lot of schools had to say, okay, we want you still to apply, but we know you were unable to take SATs or ACTs, which are the standardized tests, and we will take that out of our rubric for now. We're not going to consider them, or we will consider them if you send them because you have them, but if you don't have them, you're not going to get hurt.
That's huge.
So that was huge. There is a very big difference, though, now that kids can take tests. There I still believe that a good test score is going to help you at a school that's test optional. There are states and schools that are test blind. California right now is going through some changes, and right now they are test blind. That means they won't look at them. Even if you send them, they're not going to look at them. Other states are saying it's optional, or other private schools are saying it's optional. If you send them, we'll consider them. If you don't send them, you know, don't worry. But if your standardized test score falls in the middle 50% of last year's admitted student range, and it is as good as your grade point average or better, you should send that test, because I do believe that these colleges are still looking for those, you know, test points. They're right. looking to see, can you succeed at their school? So that was really the biggest issue. A lot of kids did take gap years last year because they didn't want to go to school online. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't want to pay for college and, you know, sit home in their room and, you know, have the expense of college. Right. So a lot of kids said, you know what, I'm going to take a gap year. That now has made this year's admission cycle very overcrowded, because those right. kids who didn't come from internationally and kids who took gap years are back in this year's pool. Mm. So it's important to understand that applications have been on the rise at almost every college now. So that means that they can be more selective. So it's actually more competitive now than it ever was because of test optional and because of COVID.
Right. And I imagine that's gonna be true for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think that's going to last probably. And a lot of these colleges have found that because their applications rose during test optional, they're going to continue those policies because it's good for them.
Right.
Colleges make money from applications. And so, you know, while it looks good for them across the board, because it increases accessibility to kids who may not have an opportunity to take a test. They may live in a rural area where there's not as many tests. They right. may live in an underserved community where testing isn't, you know, they're not able to tutor for the test.
Right.
So there's a lot of reasons why test optional is a great policy for colleges and for accessibility. So it's going to stick around. but again, I don't believe right now that testing is going away either.
Right. So I know some ACT and SAT people were just crying a little tear when you said that, because it affects their bottom line, because there are a lot of people that would rather not take the ACT four or five times at, you know, $75 a pop.
Absolutely.
If they don't have to.
Absolutely. But again, I think that a good test score will always help you. So I am sure. an advocate of taking it. Yeah. I believe that unless it's going to stress your child to no end mental health wise, unless they're going to look at a school that has been historically test optional, not just test optional since COVID, mm-hmm. I think that in all other scenarios, it is really valuable to still at least try. You don't have to take it five times, maybe,
right.
but at least try. Go in there and try, because a good test score will set you apart from those kids who don't have them. And I'm finding that the majority of schools still would like to see that test score, mm-hmm. even when they say that they're test optional.
Yeah. Now, when my daughter was looking to get into school, I mean, the ACT was the thing. And I mean, that was, besides AP classes in junior year, it was ACT. That was the year of the ACT. Do you suggest also getting a tutor for the ACT, or since most schools are test optional, you say just go in there and just do the best that you can? Should you put everything into it like we did 5 years ago?
So I think that if your child is going to apply to a competitive school and they've got nothing else that's really outstanding about them beyond their grades, so they're not going to be maybe a recruited athlete, or they're not going to be the one student that they need in the musical theater program. You know, barring that, I still think do the best you can on those tests, because again, it's very hard for a college to understand who your student is.
Right.
There's a statistic now that approximately, I think they said 450,000 kids have over a 4.0. I think was a statistic that I read this week. That means all these kids have A's. So if you've got an A and you've got average ACTs, or you got an A and you have great ACTs, I think your chances are going to be better if you've got great ACTs. So to me, I think still go to the tutor, maybe take it a couple of times. There are also free online things that you can do. Mm-hmm. Tons of available. ACT.org has their own test prep. SAT has online test prep, free. All of this is free. My biggest hint that I give everybody is go out and for $10, buy a box of SAT or ACT vocab cards, because right now, nobody is teaching you comprehension. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think the better your vocabulary is, the easier those tests are going to be, because you will understand those long passages. So to me, invest $10 and get the flashcards and learn a couple of new words every day. In my family, it sounds so nerdy, I know, we had those cards out literally for years. They were dog-eared, you know, they were just, we made a game of it at dinner. Right. We learned 2, 3, 4, 5 words, and it really did help my kids on the test. So if you can't afford a tutor, you don't have access to a tutor, there are online things, there are free things, you can buy a book. There are so many easy ways to do that.
Okay, so what if the college that your child is set on is outside of your price range? What are some options there?
So to me, this is one of the most important conversations to have at Absolutely. The very beginning of the college search.
So I mean, because a lot of kids, I mean, money is just a concept that they don't really understand yet. And the long-term implications of loans.
Yes. And I think that also, believe it or not, Leslie, I think parents actually don't even understand the implication.
Right.
When they are looking at a school, they just hear the name of the school mm-hmm. or the idea or the feel, right? What they know. And some people are lucky and they've saved. Others maybe, you know, are figuring out a way that they're going to help their children. But the vast majority of kids are going to have to take some sort of loans. And you really have to understand the long-term implication of that. Mm-hmm. So to me, I think it's a very important conversation to have with your child. It's a hard conversation mm-hmm. because you don't want to, you know,
tell them they can't
bash go their somewhere. Dreams. You don't want to squash their dreams right from the start,
right.
But you want them to understand that you've got X amount of dollars. And, you know, this is how far it's going to go. And then after that, either they are going to have to take loans or you're going to have to take loans. And what is going to be the process of paying those back? And, you know, look, there are scholarships. There's academic money at places. There is financial aid. You should absolutely always fill out the FAFSA, which is the federal aid form. You should absolutely, if your college requires it, if it's a private school, they have the CSS profile, which is a private school form. And they use that to see if you're eligible for any financial aid. But on every college website, there is also a net price calculator. Mm-hmm. And I really think it's important for parents and their children to take a look at that. You plug in your information and it will tell you what your estimated family contribution is going to be. And then you can make a decision together, barring them getting any merit money or any free money as, you know, financial aid. You know, are you guys comfortable with this? Because truthfully, if your child gets their heart set on a school and then you have to pull the rug out from them at the last minute, I think that's worse. I'd rather take right. that school right off the list. Now, from if the they're not getting their yeah. heart set on it, I say, you know what? Keep it on the list and let's see what they offer you, because there right. may be merit money coming from that school.
Yeah.
So if they're not 100% set on it and you just want to leave it on as a maybe, then okay. But let your child know that if they don't get X amount of dollars, then, you know, there's going to have to, you have to pay for it. It's money. It's not, you know, it's not pretend, you know, you have
right.
to pay those bills, and they're big bills, you know, and they come half yearly, they come by semester. You know, there are payment plans, but you have to be able to pay those bills every month, every, you know, semester that a child is in college.
Yeah. I think that is, I mean, that was the topic here for many years, you know, of paying the tuition and to impress upon my 20 somethings now that, you know, this is something that they're going to have to live with for a long time. So, you know, that's almost, I mean, I don't want to say that you should push them to a state school, but just because somebody goes out of state to a place that costs a lot of money doesn't mean that they are going to get a better job than if you went to a state school.
In many cases, it's the exact opposite. Because right. If they want to come home and live in your state, let's just say, then the recruiters are coming from your state typically. So if they want to work, you know, for example, I live in New Jersey. My kids wanted to work in New York City or locally. So when my son went to Rutgers, the recruiting was local.
It was right there.
When my son, mm-hmm. When my second son went to Indiana, the recruiting was from Indianapolis and Chicago first. So he had to go around that regional recruiting to be able to get a job in New York. So I think that quite often your state school is an amazing choice. The flagship universities are, you know, going to cost you at the very least half of what you would be paying somewhere right. else. And, you know, they should never be discounted.
No.
You will not, you know, I learned that from my oldest son. And, you know, I just think that you shouldn't discount anything. I think you should look at small schools and big schools and places where you might get athletic scholarships or places where you might get merit money because they want to entice you to come there. You know, don't discount things unless they just completely don't fit the profile that you want. I make kids look at everything. And I am super proud because in 15 years of doing this, I've only had 3 kids transfer schools. I help kids transfer when they come to me later if they're not my client. But I've only had 3 kids transfer in 15 years. So to me, that's huge. That means they found their fit, they found their happy place. If they change their major, which is likely they will do, they were able to find another major at that school. These schools were affordable for them. They didn't have to drop out because they couldn't pay their bills or their parents mm-hmm. didn't have enough money. Mm-hmm. Or if they wanted to go to graduate school and all of a sudden they realized, hey, there's not enough money in the bank.
Right.
So I just think that, again, financial fit, academic fit, social fit, culture fit, all of that is really important to think about as you're going through the process and dig deep. You've got to know, you know, all of those facts because, you know, you don't want to lose that investment.
So what if a parent comes to you and they want you to be an advisor and you meet with the kid and the kid says, you know, I don't want to go to college.
It's really interesting.
But my parents really want me to. What do you do here?
It's a great question. So one of my earliest clients, I typically meet, just so you know, majority of the time, our big meetings are parent and child.
Right.
Until we're writing essays and things like that, there's a lot of one-on-one. But all of our planning meetings are almost always family.
It's a team. Well, it's a team.
It's a team.
Yeah.
So one child very early on, I used to meet her in a Starbucks, believe it or not. We used to go to the Starbucks and the parents said, she just won't talk in front of us. So to make it more casual, we would go to this Starbucks and I would treat her to coffee. And I was really like doing all the work. And every single time we would meet, this child would cry. And like tears would just well up in her eyes. And I finally said to her,
what's wrong?
Her name is Jackie. She knows I tell this story all the time. I'm like, Jack, please tell me, you know, you need to tell me what is the matter. And she said to me, Marnie, I just want to go to cosmetology school. And I said, Jack, we are going to go to your parents and we're going to tell them, and we're going to tell them that you've got a plan, that you'll go to community college and take some business classes. You will go to cosmetology school And all the money that they're going to pay for college, they can invest in a business for you. And they will be thrilled. And I went with her to the parents, and that was what she did. And she's a very successful business owner now. And, you know, that was one of my earliest lessons, was be honest. Now, it may not work for everybody. There may be parents who say, you know, no way, they're, you know, my child is going to college. Mm-hmm. In which case, I really think that the best case scenario for that is to find not an expensive college where the investment isn't going to be huge, because that's, you know, and let the students see if they can get their feet wet, if they right. can, you know, and again, also, do they have an idea? That girl had a clear idea of what she wanted to do. You know, I've got kids who want to go into the military, or kids who want to go to community college. If you've got a clear idea, that's great. Your parents will always respect that, I think. But if you say, hey, you know, I'm just going to be a bum, I don't think that's going to fly. So I try to advise on finding a passion, finding an interest. How are you going to change the world? What are you going to do out there? Because this is your future, and your parents are investing in me typically to help you figure out what your future is. So I want to help everybody do that the best that they can.
And I think it's important for parents to know that they really do need to listen to their kids. I mean, yes. You may want them to go to college, but if they know it's not the right fit for them, why strap them with some sort of debt?
Exactly.
If they know already that it's not going to be a good investment for them.
Yeah. And there are vocational schools.
Right.
And, you know, there are so
many. And those are so needed. People, you know, electricians, plumbers, so needed.
So needed. And they make a great living, you know. And
right.
There's no reason why, again, unless, you know, again, we have to get it out of our head. You've got to mm-hmm. sometimes let go of the picture you've got of your child
right.
and adjust to the new picture. That was what I had to learn. I wanted my son to go far away and, you know, spread his wings. And I had to adjust to the reality of that was not what he wanted to do. And he wasn't going to be, you know, happy or comfortable or successful doing that. And mm-hmm. so, you know, I just had to learn to listen to him. And he thanked me for that. He said, thank you so much for listening.
So what are your thoughts on graduate school? Because that's kind of a sticky area too. I mean, I've heard you should go right into graduate school. I know graduate school is extremely expensive. So you want it to do the best that it can. Because I've heard, on the other hand, go get some work experience first.
Yeah.
And then go to graduate school.
Absolutely. The average age in graduate school is like 26 years old. It's not really 21 years old or 22, mm-hmm. right? When they get out, I think it's like 26 or 27. Most kids, unless they want to be a doctor, medical school is different.
Right.
That most kids go directly on. Or a dentist, most kids go directly on. But for the most part now, I am finding that students are coming out, they're getting work experience, and then they're deciding if they want to go back to law school, and they're deciding if they want to go back to get an MBA. And the MBA program, most especially, employers will pay for you to go back later. You don't need to get a general MBA. If you want to go into real estate, you might need a master's in real estate or a master's in accounting. And so you might go and pay $75,000, $80,000, $100,000 a year to get this MBA, and you may not have the education that you actually
need
for the job that you want to do. So most of those kids I'm finding are waiting. The doctors are going, the kids who want to go into medicine are going. I find the engineers are waiting. The only thing that I do see as a trend is direct admit programs. So they're going in to a five-year program where they're getting a master's in education.
Right.
So they're coming out having that higher level education, which means a better paycheck. They are going in to direct admit physician assistant programs where they know they're going in, they're going to a school, they're going to stay there for their PA program, and they're going to come out a physician's assistant, and they don't have to worry about applying again. Mm-hmm. But they're very competitive, those programs as well. And they're a little lonely sometimes. I find that they're not huge programs, and there's not a ton of support, and there's not a lot of other kids who are going as fast as you or as far as you. And so you really have to be the right kind of kid for that program. But I am finding that, again, the MBA kids and the law kids are going back later.
We're 2 years into COVID. And we all hope that things are going to go back to the way that they were. Do you think that colleges are going to go back to the way they were in 2019?
I think that they're trying to. So I'm seeing even now, you know, the testing, you know, through the COVID testing and the mask mandates are starting to relax a little. I think that kids do want to be on college campuses because it's fun, first of all,
sure. But
also because they just learn better that way.
Yeah.
You know, you need some of that interaction and collaboration. And
you need to let your hair down a little bit and go get a party on.
Exactly.
You
and
do.
They want that. You know, kids want that. They want to move for their football team or race their bike or, you know, play field hockey. So they want to do those things. And I think that's really important. And they want to enjoy the towns and they want to grow up. It's adulting. You know, they're learning to be on their own. And I think that's really important for kids and for parents.
Yeah.
So I do believe that college is going to still, I think it's going to go back. Yes, I do think it's going to go back. I think COVID's always going to be a thing. I think now schools are going to be better at adjusting more quickly and that they've got a lot more online programming available.
Tools in place. Right.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be good. But I saw really the majority of students wanting to go. Many kids went back to their college campuses, lived in frat houses or apartments off campus and just did their classes online even during COVID because they just wanted to be there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I do think it's going back. The one thing I don't think is going to ever go back is I think it's going to be competitive going forward, even at more moderate schools, because I do believe applications are going to stay on the rise for the next 5 or 10 years.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's why it's really important to stand out.
And to start now, if you're young.
And to start now.
Right. But don't feel too much pressure.
Yeah, well, you know, again, I try to make it fun, you know, I think that that's really important that you try. I learned that from my youngest child, actually, who all I ever wanted to talk about was college. And she just shut down. She didn't want to have anything to do with my conversations. And before I had to say, oh, my God, I'm going to have to hire somebody else to do this for her. I made a deal with her and I said, I won't talk to you every day about it. You'll make an appointment with me once a week, just like a client does. You'll come in my office. We'll do it that way. And that way you'll enjoy it the same way other kids do. And I won't stop talking about it at dinner every single night. Because if a child is stressed about it, they're going to shut down and you won't have a great success story. I think you want to try to make it the least pressure it can be.
Absolutely. It's almost like, you know, it's like, how do you study for a test? Do you prepare for a long time or do you cram right at the end? And those that are preparing, you know, for a long time, don't feel as much stress.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And, you know, it is a long time for these kids. Yeah. And I think that if you do it in little digestible bites, baby steps, it's so much better. That's why I say, go visit a school that's close to you. Just walk around on the campus or go to an arts festival that's there or go to a game, you know, if you can, just for fun. You don't have to have a lot of pressure of what do you want your major to be?
And
this is the best school ever. You have to go here. Just let them kind of
feel it out.
Get their toe in the water. Exactly.
Yeah. So where can people find you if they want to start working with you?
So people can find me they can find me on my website, which will be up and ready soon. They can find me on social media though. That's the easiest way to find me. You can find me at College Marnie, CollegeMarnie. I know it's a weird name with an underscore at the end. On Facebook, Marnie Half Levine. I'm actually going to be starting a private Facebook group going forward in the next couple of months. And that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have parent panels. We're going to have students on there who are on college campuses. They're going to do Instagram takeovers and Facebook takeovers, and they're going to come on and answer questions about the college admissions process, about the colleges that they attend. We're going to provide one-on-one in that Facebook group answers to your questions. So that's going to be a new, really fun project that I'm working on. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You know, my email, I'm sure that you will drop a link to that.
Yeah, I'll put everything in the show notes for sure.
Yeah. And I'm very accessible. I love talking about college. I am always here to answer questions. You can message me on Facebook and ask me a question anytime, and I'm happy to answer it.
Awesome. And like I said, everything will be in the show notes. You will be able to find Marnie for sure. So last question. So what is your best advice? I mean, we were talking before we started recording that, you know, moms are having children older and older. So there are a lot of women who are over 50 who have kids that are choosing a college and getting into a college, thinking about graduate school. The thing is, with women over 50, we have a lot of knowledge and we have a lot of opinions and ideas, and it's very easy for us to put those on to our children when they are in this very important decision-making time. What is the best advice that you can give to these moms to just kind of give your kids a little space?
Yeah. Take a deep breath. You know how we tell them, you know, count to 10 before you say something. I think that we need to understand our role in the process. We should guide. We should be there to be a cheerleader, right? Say, you're doing great in school. I think also helping them and asking them questions about things that they're passionate about. Listen to who your child is, because that will help them to be a better human, right? I always tell kids, be a good person, right? Dig deep, do good things. Think about how you are going to go out into this world. So how are you impacting people? And I think that only moms really see the true light sometimes within the student. And so try to bring those things out. Don't say you've got to go to Harvard or you've got to go to my alma mater, or, you know, bring out who your child is, because when they figure out who they are, they're going to be successful wherever they go, and they're going to make this world a better place. So, you know, don't push, listen, think before you talk, you know, like my mom always said. So I think it's really important that you don't want them to shut down. You want them to enjoy this process. You cheerlead, you kind of say, hey, you know, that's great. You want to get in the car and go for a visit. Let's go buy a sweatshirt, you know, at that school or whatever. No pressure. You know, I think that kids feel so much pressure right now. COVID really hurt these kids,
right?
Socially, academically, their grades are different. You know, they either, we touched upon this at the beginning, inflation, deflation of grades. Nobody knows who they are anymore. Mm-hmm. Either school was a big open book test or it was hard and they don't have any math skills. So, you know, give your kid some space, show them a little grace. I think that's really important. They're going to catch up. They're going to be fine. They're amazing people. You raised them to be, and set them out in the world and just be there to support them. You know, give them the tools they need, help them if they need resources. But again, let them be who they are. You know, be unique is my saying, you know, be a little different than the kid to the left and the right, but be you, be yourself.
Right, right.
And that to me is going to bring the greatest success anywhere, in high school, in college, in graduate school, and in life.
Yeah. Awesome. That's wonderful advice, Marnie. Thanks so much for being with us today. I know there's so much stuff there, and there's a lot.
It's my pleasure. I loved it. It's my favorite topic to talk about. So thank you for having me on. It was a great experience. And if anybody's got questions, I will be happy to answer them. Just reach out.
Great. All right. Have a great day.
Thanks, Leslie.
A very special thank you to Marnie for being on to discuss this very important time for kids and their parents. It's a true specialization, and one we really don't know much about until we are there with our kids. All the better to find a college advisor like Marnie to help you let somebody else be the expert, because, I mean, seriously, who's got time for that? Marnie has such great information today and pieces of advice, and here are just a few of them. Number one, finding the right fit for college is a personal scenario for every family and child. Each has their own parameters. It's not a one-size-fits-all. Number two, the biggest myth is that colleges want a well-rounded student. Your child doesn't have to be or do everything. They need to find the things they love, that they enjoy and are good at, and then go deeper on those things. It's quality over quantity. Number three, if your kid is not comfortable where they are, they can't be happy. And if they can't be happy, they can't be successful. Number four, take advantage of the virtual information sessions, virtual tours of campuses, and virtual takeovers to keep the pressure low on visits. It will help you narrow down the list before you start actual in-person visits. Number five, always make sure to talk to actual students of the school. They will give you the honest lowdown on the school versus the shiny presentation on the school website. Make sure to have a list of questions ready. Number six, look at one kind of school in each category. One large school, one small school, one in your home state, one that's far away, one that's in a city, one that's more in the country, etc. Number seven, plan to apply to 10 colleges. If you've seen five of them in person, you're in good shape. Number eight, if a kid is doing well at the college that best fits them, they will have more success than if they are struggling at an Ivy League school. Today, it's not just about going to college. It's about succeeding in college. Number nine, many kids took a gap year during COVID, so the selection pool is large and applications are on the rise at every college, and it's more competitive for admission. Number 10, even at a test optional school, a good test score will still set you apart from those kids that don't have a test score at all. Number 11, one of the most important conversations at the outset of the college search is the cost and the financial decision to be made. You and your child need to understand the long-term implications of education loans. Number 12, as a parent, you have to listen to your child. Get that picture that you think your kid's future looks like out of your head and adjust to the picture that they have. And number 13, understand your role in the process. Be a guide. Be a cheerleader. Ask your child questions to help them figure out who they are. Because if you can do this, they will be successful and make the world a better place. Now, if you are interested in contacting Marnie with a question, or want to work with her, or want to ask about her college membership that she is starting, I will put all of her contact information in the show notes. And make sure to follow her on Instagram at collegemarnie_, because she's having a lot of actual college students do Instagram takeovers where they are answering any question that you may have about their college. And thank you for listening today. I hope that you have taken away some good information and actionable steps to help you and your students through this very important time. This summer is going to be busy, so I hope that you listen maybe even more than once to kind of get your plan in place. And if it has been informational to you to listen to this podcast, know that it will be for someone else too, and share this episode or post on your social media so that others can find it. And remember to rate and review, because that will make it more likely to show up in someone else's search. I'd love your feedback and to connect with you as well. And I'm going to put all of my contact information in the show notes too. I am very excited to share that I have put together a Moms Over 50 Mother's Day gift guide of curated gift ideas from some female-founded businesses, some local to me here in Louisville, and then some from other places. I have also employed a couple of friends over 50 who have helped me curate some great book lists if you think that your mom would like a great book for Mother's Day. And I will put the link to this free gift guide in the show notes, so you should definitely check that out. And because it's a gift guide, don't think you
can't just download and peruse it for yourself. There are no rules that say you can't buy yourself a gift for whatever reason. I would say buy yourself a gift because it's Thursday and you're awesome. Or it's Wednesday and you're awesome. Or it's Tuesday and you're awesome. Okay, friends, remember to show as much compassion to others as you need today. Let's make this world a better place. And let's start right where we are. All right, till next time. See ya. Bye.